greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Let's sing it again. Hallelujah. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, yes, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, yes, I know greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Let's sing it again. Yes, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
I don't know.
The Bible tells me so.
Well, on the day of Pentecost, a mighty rushing wind swept into the upper room and baptized all of them.
So greater is he that is in me. Yes, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Amen. Amen. God has smiled on me. Key of G. Page 191.
Amen. You know, I think about that song. The evidence is right here.
Yes.
I'm still here. He's protected me. He's guided me. He's led me. I'd like my wife to come up here. Amen. This is Mother's Day.
Yes, it is Mother's
this
Day.
This is the mother of my children. Yeah. Don't say too much.
You guys can be seated. Be seated.
You know, when somebody sits back and just does their job, they don't get a whole lot of attention. Amen. She's been with me for 45 years? 46 years, actually. But been married for 45. Now, this girl has raised my children.
Yes.
She's done an absolute great job.
Amen.
They turned out to be pretty good kids, all of them. Say, well, they're not here. I've got them. don't you worry about that at all. We raised them right.
Amen.
And you can see they're all responsible, smart, and loving people. You know, so raising her family right, got good grandkids, everything else. 8 kids, 15 grandkids so far. And the Lord's been good to us.
Amen.
You know, she has been by my side, stood by me, never acted up too much. Not like me, I don't act up too much. But, you know, God has kept us. And that's the thing that I appreciate so much, and I'll give him praise and honor for that. Because he has led me, he's taught me how to raise a family, taught us how to raise a family, how to be loving to one another, how to, you know, exist in this present evil world, as the Bible calls it. And he's brought us this far. You know, and the further you get along, the further, I guess, your confidence is. You know, I'm just confident he's going to lead me the rest of the way home.
Amen,
I'm confident our love is going to grow stronger and stronger, and it has. He's talking about the other day how, you know, if you changed in the past year, has you progressed in the past year. I've seen our marriage, our love, our walk with God progress year after year after year after year. And, you know, the Bible talks about being grounded, you know, and being of a sober mind. And in this this evil world we got here, I tell you what, it's crazy. It surely is totally black. Yeah. And no light at all. Nothing to lead, nothing to teach, nothing to hold them. That's why they go just every direction you can imagine. But I'm thankful that God's got us, that God's kept us this far and is leading us the rest of the way home. You know, and you look at, I guess the more you look at it, the more, you see, he's always had it. Yeah. You know, and you think, well, I worried and I feared and I, you know, coulda, shoulda, woulda, didn't. And you think he's always got it. He's a big, big God. Amen. And I'm thankful to be free. I'm thankful to just be me, to be our marriage, you think? You know, might look at our home and you think, I don't know. You might look at how we live life and you think, I don't know about that. But that's okay. We are content, happy, and got God on our side and we're on God's side. And, you know, we're just living, absolutely living the dream. You talk about a marriage made in heaven. The rest of them just talk about it. We got it.
You got it.
We got it. So... I'm thankful for this woman right here.
Amen.
Everything to me. Amen.
Amen.
You want to say something? I can put the mic down.
If it weren't for this man, I wouldn't be where I'm at either. So he's helped me through a lot. I love him.
Amen.
I'm very blessed. I love all my kids, my husband. Wouldn't have it any other way. So.
Amen.
That's it.
Amen.
Amen. That's beautiful. Yeah.
Can I throw a little something into the
into
the pool?
Right.
I want to thank God for a wonderful husband. I wouldn't, like you, Jan, I wouldn't be where I am today. Come on. I wouldn't be where I am today, so I'm not coming with empty-handed.
No.
I'm going to stir it up, amen. Because He's good. He's been so good to me. So
we're
going to play a little song. Okay. Thank you, Jesus.
I just thank God for his blessings and lessons learned. I went through a little hard week, a couple weeks, you know, dealing with my parents. And, you know, reality hits you kind of hard when you see your parents declining in their health. And so it kind of gets to you. But they're doing okay, you know. Taking appointments and ER, and they're okay, and I wouldn't have it any other way with me helping them. But on the note, I went through a whole lot, and I had some trial flutes that I told you about, and that was something. I ended up sending them back, and they told me to keep the one I liked. And I thought, okay, I'm going to do this. And the thing about it was, I was trying to do things in myself. And, well, when you don't work, which I don't, you can't get the financing for a flute. So I thought I could do it on my own and came back and was like, no, you can't do it. So I'm like, okay, I'm not doing it. I shut down. I said, I'm not doing this. I don't think, you know, I felt it was the devil speaking to me, you know, just telling me you're not worthy. You're not playing. You're not doing this. You're not getting up there. You're not even meant to have it. So I kind of shut down for a little bit, and it was a mixture of emotions with my parents, too, that got to me. So I let it go, and then I kind of got in myself, and I said, you know what? Lord, forgive me. I'm not worthy even to have this flute. You know, the way I was acting, I just felt so bad. So I kind of repented of that. But and I let it go, and I had to kind of slap myself and get reality, because I'm like, the devil didn't tell me. I mean, you know, I know what the devil was telling me, but I know what God was telling me. He never told me that. Amen. So I rebuked that, and I'm like, I'm getting rid of that, because I know how I was in such a dark cave before, and I'm like, that's just pushing me back into that. I'm not getting that anymore. But what'd the Lord do for me? Well, come find out, my husband and my daughter came home. She said, you know, Mom, I noticed that you haven't been playing for a while. You've been down. You've been really down about it. I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I'm okay. And she said, well, you know, they my husband and my daughter, they said, we got it taken care of. We got it taken care of. They got the financing. It went through. Next thing I know, the flute's coming to my house. So, beautiful flute. So, we might be paying on it for a little bit. I'll leave that to them, though. But I'm grateful for it. I'm blessed with it. And I said, you know, I used this. This just wasn't for me to be at home to toot and play little songs. It's for you all. It's for the edifying of the body.
Yes,
and I take this seriously.
Amen.
And I play every day, and I want to do this not for me, for God, but for you all. So that's what it's for. And it's about, to me, this testimony is about overcoming something.
Yes,
when I need help, a lot of times I can't do it myself. I have to rely on family. I have to rely on my brothers and my sisters for prayer, for things. So it was a lesson for me. So, and I thank God for it. So blessing is not for me, it's for you too.
Amen. Never say never. God does nothing but impossible things. Everything he did was impossible. Sarah was way too old. Actually, Abraham was way past the age when he first spoke to him. And then God waited 25 years. So I try to encourage her to say, just never say never. And then we looked at the other night when Brother Parnell came, God can take a heart and he can change it. He can bring our kids back. He can do whatever we have faith for. So,
amen.
Not to take up too much time.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you, Jesus. All right.
I can take the pain, the heartaches they bring, the comfort in knowing I'll soon be gone. As God gives me grace, is that key G? As God gives me grace, I'll run this race until I see my Savior face to face. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder to be with my Lord. Oh, I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder to be with my Lord. Amen. I tried it. My voice is gone anyway from Wednesday. Take that back to her. I'm going to have somebody come up and help me. Brother AJ, come and help me sing All My Hope. His voice is fresh. He's just on my you're on leave now, aren't you? Getting ready for Kara. Amen. Yeah, please. Here, I'll turn the song to you and then get ready.
Amen. I'm excited to be here. It's a good day. It's a really good day. And it's not just because I'm off work for 5 weeks. It's Mother's Day, and I'm going to lift up Kara for a minute because I think she should count. She's carried my son for the last 9 months. So, and you know what? She was a trooper the whole way through. Hardly complained at all. I mean, absolutely strong. And I'm excited to be here because this place is a respite for me. We build our week around this. And this is just a place to come and let it all go, you know. Amen. Let everything go that's bothering you or weighing down on you, because you can be free in here. Amen. So I'm excited. I'm excited to sing this.
All my hope.
I've been held by the Savior. I felt fire from above. I've been down to the river. I ain't the same, a prodigal return. All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. Forgiven, I've been washed by the blood. I'm no stranger to the prison. I've worn shackles and chains. I've been freed and forgiven. I'm not going back, I'll never be the same. So why I sing, all my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. That's why I sing, oh, my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. I've been washed by the blood.
Yeah, come on up. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
That's right.
That, that's not the qualification. That's perfect.
That's right.
Yes, yes.
Right.
Yes.
Amen. Jesus, Lord to me.
Okay. Praise Him, Renee.
Amen.
Amen.
God
Amen.
Bless you, Sister Renee. Sister Kara.
Yes.
Amen. God bless Sister Kara.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
We'll try to hold it together.
Right.
You know, and I think about my wife. You know, I've said this before. I don't think there's anyone here whose wife she hasn't
touched. Oh, my.
I know there's no one here whose wife she hasn't eaten.
Right.
All the years we've been married, all the years, she has given 100%.
Every word of
it. Amen.
100%.
Every word of it.
She didn't stay up till midnight or 1 in the morning.
That's right.
She didn't talk to them.
Sure.
To get them through the dark ages. She did it.
She did it.
Right.
Right.
And then I would get up at 3:45 in the morning. Not one time did she not get up with me.
I don't care.
I don't care how tired she was.
Faithful.
She gave her all.
My goodness.
More important than anything, she loved this word.
Right.
She loves the word. You know, the wife, the mother, she's the minister to the family. Mm-hmm. Mother, young mothers, talk to your children.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, you go out to the school world.
Right.
But when you bring them home, you put the
word of God.
That's right. Amen.
Put it in them, that's your ministry.
Yes.
Your husband's going to give you his money.
Right.
But it's your ministry to break it down to your children.
Right.
Just like Pastor breaks it down to me.
Yes.
We all have a place, but you know, I love my children. I love my wife. My sister texted me today, and what I say was 37, 38 years. Not my mom. And it still brought a tear to my eyes.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 God bless you,
Amen.
Amen.
Appreciate
you.
Amen.
Go ahead, Mel. Your last one.
Wow.
It's good to see you.
All right. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Right. Right.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Two quick announcements. we've got baptismal after service today.
Amen.
Some people getting baptized. And then July 11th. Is that right, Jeremiah?
June 11th.
June 11th, Little Bethlehem. And then sign up for the Wild. And then Brother Kobe's bringing a visitor this Wednesday as well. So there's a couple. Okay, that's it. So this Wednesday, they're taking down the sign-up sheet for the Wilds. Amen. Let's sing page 194, We Fall Down, key of G.
Amen. Amen.
Get him up. Appreciate the testimonies. Y'all know I love my mama. I'm not even going to get on it. I want to get out. I want to sit down. Page 194, We Fall Down, key of G. Greatness of his
His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus, and we cry, holy, holy, holy. Yes, we cry, holy, holy, holy. Yes, we cry, holy, holy, holy. Is the Lamb. Oh, and we cry, holy, holy, holy. Yes, we cry, holy, holy, holy. Yes, we cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb.
And we cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry,
Father, we come before you this morning knowing that you are the one and only one who could have paid that price. And Father, that lamb come forth, and not only did it shed the blood, but it stood as a mediator between God and man for 2,000 years. And then he turned around and took the book, the only one who could take the book, and brought that down here, his word himself. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Thank you for this word that we have before us. Thank you for this waiting congregation. Ask you, Lord, to continue to speak to our hearts and help us, Lord, so that when we leave here today, that we'll be better than we were when we got here. Forgive us where we let you down. And Father, help us to hold up that bloodstained banner so that when people see us, they see you. That's what we want. It's not an hour to give up, but it's an hour to press towards the mark harder than ever before. It's not an hour to get complacent or unsatisfied, but it's an hour to push, because it's a pushing day. And if you don't push, Father, you just will fall by the wayside. You'll go down the river with all the other things. But God, help us to push like never before, even that much more as we see that hour approaching. The worse the world gets, the more we should push towards you. Father, I ask you to take these words that we're about to speak this morning and use it for the edifying of this body. Father, I ask you to touch those that are sick, need a touch from you. Thank you for answering prayer and for moving on behalf of the bride of Jesus Christ. We ask and you move. Lord, we thank you for that. Have your way this morning. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Good to be back home. As Sister Renee says, you know, it's good to visit, and I like to go, and nothing wrong with going, but there's no place like home. And because you understand us, and we understand you. It's like family. When you're at home, you can pull your shoes off, you can relax, and you can enjoy it. So it's good. I was really thankful to be able to go to Brother Allen's and the minister last Sunday. I appreciate him opening the door and allowing us to come in. because that's part of what I need to do. And if nothing else is for me, I need to get out. I can't stay behind closed doors and expect that God's going to just do everything here with me. Well, just as much as I expect others to go, I need to do the same. So I appreciate him opening this door for us last weekend. And thank you for those who went with us. We did have a good time. And just as a side note, first of all, happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers. Mothers and mothers soon to be. And good to be able to come and share. You know, mothers have a great role in the home. A lot of people think that we are down on women and we don't like sisters and on and on and on. But really, if it wasn't for the sisters, the home wouldn't be the home that it is. You say, well, what about the brothers? Well, if it wasn't for the brothers, the home wouldn't be the home as it is. It takes both of you together working it through. So, but it's a partnership. It's not a master slave. It's not one dominating over the other. It's a joint venture. You're doing this thing together. You're serving God together. And when you got a good spouse that's serving God with you, they may have issues or problems or whatever, little quirks here and there, but that's okay. You're serving God together. And that's more important than anything else. So happy Mother's Day to you all. Now, just as a reminder, we won't have services tonight because I expect that the brothers are going to be pampering their sisters a little bit. So I don't want you to have to rush. I want you to take your time. It's only one day. Gee. enjoy the evening, and we'll get back here on Wednesday, and we'll have Brother Covey's got someone coming to visit on Wednesday, so we're looking forward to that. And so hopefully I can get us out in a decent time. I never know how it's going to go. Quit laughing, Mike. I never know how it's going to go until after it's done. So it's good to be here. It's funny. I can get things ready, and God's tweaking it all the way up to the last minute. You wake up in the middle of the night and he's tweaking it, or you add something and it's like, oh, okay. And so by the time you get here, and then you start and you don't know where you're going to end because you don't know what he's going to do with it. So I just want to get started this morning. I got this thought from Wednesday night listening to Brother Jay. I really appreciate the service Wednesday, but this comes partially from there. And I want to go over to Joshua chapter 14. Got a little bit of reading here, about 7 or 8 verses, but it's not a lot, but it's just to give us a little background. Joshua chapter 14, and we're going to start at verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, and unto him, thou knowest the things, and this is what they said, thou knowest the things that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me. And this is what Joshua about. Caleb was asking, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. Now listen to this. Talk about a testimony. 40 years. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy on the land. Now we're thinking Joshua and Caleb were young bucks. By the time they got to spying Canaan's land, he was older. They'd already walked around 40 years. Sent me to Kadesh Barnea to spy on the land, and I brought him word again as it was mine heart, that was in mine heart. Yeah. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly follow the Lord my God. Yeah. Even though all the other people were tearing it down and making the whole thing seem like it was just a waste of time, Joshua and Caleb were the ones who wholly followed the Lord. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet had trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children forever. Because, and this is the reason, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. And he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spake the word unto Moses, whilst the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet, now listen, listen to this. This is one of the blessings you get. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was the day that Moses sent me, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now. He is just as strong now as he ever was. For war, listen, I'm ready for war. I'm ready to fight. 85-year-old. I'm ready to go to war. For war, both to go out and to come in. Bring them however you want to do it. However you want your bread buttered. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou hearest in that day how that the Achaeans were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be that the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out. He ain't worried about them. I'll be able to drive them out, as the Lord has said. He wasn't dependent on himself. He wasn't even dependent on his strength. He was dependent on the word of God. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading.
Amen.
There's a lot in there. I want to title this message this morning, Claiming What God Promised You. Claiming what God, if you don't claim it, it's not yours. I don't even care if you don't see it. Joshua and Caleb didn't see it. But they knew that God had told them through Moses, through their prophet, that they were going to get this land. And here Caleb was. He had been right by Joshua's side, who was right by Moses' side. And everything that Moses asked of them, they did. Everything. Everything. Did you hear me? Everything. I'm not talking about part. I should make you say it. Everything.
Everything.
Everything that God gave Moses and Moses gave to the men, they did. You couldn't even tell them they didn't. You couldn't point a finger at them. Every time Moses said, go do something, they did it. Put blood on the doorpost,
they did it.
Walked with him, talked with him, held the children out, the children of Israel in line, they did it. And when it came to the Canaan land, promised land, remember God promised them that land. And they got there. And when they got there, they were so full of unbelievers that God couldn't even do what he wanted to do. You say, well, how can you hold up God? You can't. But God's not going to use unbelievers to do his work. He said, I'll raise up a rock.
Amen.
He don't need you. You sit here if you want, but God don't need you. We need him.
Amen.
God's not trying to convince you.
No.
He is who he is.
Right.
And you need to get with him.
Right.
And if you don't get with him, God will let you wander around for 40 years.
Amen.
Here, Joshua and Caleb had to stay and pay the price for the world's unbelief. They had to stay 40 more years. They could have gone into the land years ago. Joshua, matter of fact, and Caleb, when they went in as spies in the land, Moses sent them in there. They went in there and spied out the land, but it was the 10 unbelievers that were with them that couldn't believe that they could take the land. See, don't think that God can't do it. Okay. Israel got in trouble with God because they said, can God, instead of God can. When it comes to the body change, don't say, can God. Don't sit here and act like you're not sure if it's going to happen. He said it. Whatever God promises, he will do. He is a God that keeps his word. You don't have to wonder. If God said he's going to give you the land, you're going to get the land. I don't care if you have to go 40 years and walk you around till all the dead unbelievers get off the track. But the believers are going to go all the way. They're going to wholly follow the Lord. Oh, they're going to have trials. They'll have trouble. They'll go through things just like everybody else. You know what? You're not exempt from trouble because you're a believer. Matter of fact, I guarantee that you're going to have trouble because you're saying you believe God. You're saying God's word is true. You're saying you're one of them. And so the devil's going to bring you trouble because he's going to see if you're going to sell this thing out. He ain't worried about the world. He's got the world. Those 200 million demons aren't out there after the world. They're after you. You know what? All the school shooting, these drug addictions and all this stuff that's out here. You know what that's after? You. Amen. Me. All this stuff you see, you say the world's in bad shape. Yeah, there's 200 million demons let loose. What do you expect? Amen. This world is gone. But see, the thing is, the bride is not. When Joshua and Caleb looked at each other when they got back to Moses and told them how the land was perfect and they're ready to take the land, and the other 10 said, we can't do it. See, they were outvoted. So don't wait on voting to fix things. Voting ain't going to fix things. Politics ain't going to fix things. Democrat or Republican ain't going to fix things. Independents ain't going to fix things. Matter of fact, when you get a group of people together to vote something in, they'll always mess it up. When they ask if one of Jesus or Barabbas, who'd they choose? They don't know what they're doing. So Joshua looked at Caleb across the fire when they're warming their hands and telling Moses about what they had found. And Joshua's like, man, it's a great place. God has been good to us. We've got this land. We've got these mountains out there. With the fruits are huge. See, they were looking at the promises. Now listen to what they looked at. The land is a great land. The fruit and vegetables are amazing. We don't even have, it takes two men to carry a thing of grapes. Yeah. Wow. Amen. That was what the two saw. See, when you come to church, what do you see? Right. What are you looking at? Okay. What are you getting out of service? Is God calling you an eagle or is he calling you a buzzard? Yeah. So those two come out talking about how good the land was, which is what Moses asked them to do. Right. He said, check out the land. And the 10 came back and said, we're grasshoppers. These people are huge. They're big. That, you know, they didn't say nothing about the grapes. They didn't say nothing about the things that God was promising. God wasn't promising them the people. God was going to clean the people out. He said, this is your land. Amen. And all they needed to do was come back with the testimony that the land was good. Not the people, not the size of the army. Oh, you know what? When Gideon went out to fight, God had to narrow down the number. Because Gideon was looking too good. And God don't like big numbers. Because when you get big numbers, God don't get credit. And so God told Gideon, have your men go down to the river and drink. And those who laughed like a dog, they kept their hand. You know why they laughed? They kept their hand on their sword. They were ready to fight. The other people just used their hands and they just went about it and they put their sword down. They weren't ready to fight. If anybody would have come up, they wouldn't have been ready anyway. And God said, fire them. Send them home. There's too many of them anyway. And here Joshua and Caleb went in the land and they did what Moses said. They wholly followed him.
They really looked at the land like they were asked to do. And they said, this is the land. All the 12 had to do is come back and say, this is the land. You know what they would have done? Went in there and took the land.
Amen.
All of them would have took the land. They would have taken every bit of that promised land. But remember, God keeps his word about his promise.
Amen.
That was the promised land.
Amen.
That's not just an area that you call it a promised land. No, that was promised by God to the children. That's why they'll never take it away from them. I don't care how many countries get around them. I don't care how many Scud missiles they fire. I don't care how much they raise up a Palestinian. I don't care how much the United States try to put a Palestinian on its own country and all this stuff they're trying to figure out how to make them live together. They're not living together. The promised land was for God's children. It ain't for everybody. Just like the Word of God. This Word of God is our promised land. And it's not for everybody. That's why this place ain't packed. That's why we don't have to have a bunch of ideas of everybody else trying to figure this thing out. It's only for the children of God. And Israel will be Israel right where they're at until he comes. Because that's where he's going to go to meet them. Because they are in the land. You cannot even hear from God until you're in the land. Okay. Natural or spiritual.
Amen.
Now, God had promised them, and the thing I was thinking about, now, and I'm probably messing all this up, but this is what I was on my mind this morning. That promised land, though it was promised, you didn't have to go into it. It's your choice.
Right. Amen.
If you don't really want it, it's your choice.
Right.
Do you know 2.5 of the tribes of Israel didn't go into the promised land? They settled on the other side of Jordan.
Well.
And you know why they settled? Because they used their worldly goods. They said, we have cattle. And over there you got mountains. Caleb was wanting his mountain. Over there you got mountains. Well, we got cattle. We got sheep. We need to have flat land. And over on this side, it's flat land. It's good, easy living.
Okay.
Easy living.
Okay.
And so we don't want to go into the promised land. We choose, Moses, to stay on the other side of Jordan, where the living is easy, and we could be rich and increase with goods, and you don't have to need nothing because the land is flat, the animals will love it, it'll look good. But what they forgot was that was not the promise of God's word.
Amen.
And Moses looked at them and said, that wasn't the word of God. They said, well, Moses, let us leave our wives and our kids and our animals over here on this side of Jordan, and then we'll come over Jordan and help you fight the land and get the land if you want, but then we're going to go back. There's a lot of people that go back. There's a lot of people that draw back. There's a lot of people that don't wholly follow the Lord. The Lord didn't say stay on the other side of Jordan.
Right.
The Lord didn't say keep it where it's easy living. The Lord didn't say don't worry about what I said. Just do what you want to do. You got to get in the promised land. You're not safe unless you're in the promised land. God's obligated to you only in the promised land. Many of us go so far in this message. Go a long ways. 10, 15, I've seen them 20 years in the message. But then they get to the point they think, well, I'm just going to settle here. This is good enough. Don't you ever settle.
Amen.
You go all the way. You wholly follow the Lord.
Amen.
Don't follow till it starts hurting you, till it doesn't fit your needs, till it doesn't fit your desires or what you want to do. You got to stay with the word holy. I don't care how many years you've been in this message. You got to stay with the word 100%. Joshua and Caleb, even though they had been in there for 40 to 45 years, Caleb was like, I've been with this thing. I followed Joshua. You know it, Joshua. You were standing there. You know I wholly follow the Lord. Right. See, when you wholly follow the Lord, you can put God's feet to the fire. Caleb wasn't going to take no back seat. Caleb wasn't going to settle for no little hill. Caleb wasn't going to settle for no valley. Caleb wasn't going to settle for some flat land. But he said, you know, Joshua, I wholly followed the Lord. Claim what the promises are for you. Claiming what God promised you. That's what Caleb was doing. See, we get tired. We get settled down. We get to a place where our car seems like it's humming, and we get settled, and we think, well, this is pretty good. And we get satisfied, and we settle down here. But you know what? Don't slack off on this thing at all. You start missing one service. Next thing you know, you're missing three. Then you miss three. Then it's okay to miss five. Then you miss five. And then you miss 6 months. And you don't realize you're settling.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
You're cooling off. You're getting weak. You're not doing like Caleb. Caleb said, I am just as strong as I was when I started. I am just as strong as I was when I first believed this thing. It's not an hour to back off. It's not an hour to look around and say, you know what? I'm settled here. I'm satisfied. Don't let us cross over Jordan. Let us just make the best of what we have right now. You better push. You better press. You better. And when you see yourself slacking off, you better pick up the pace. Because there's a lot of people who were walking with Moses that got tired. They got old. They got settled. They said, you know, Moses, we've been walking around here these 40 years. I'm tired. I'm just going to settle right here. I'm just going to stay right here. But that wasn't what God promised you. Don't you ever get settled into who you are and feel like you got enough. You better be seeking God every day of your life. You better be following God wholly every day of your life. Because that's the only way the promises are for you. If you're not wholly following God, God ain't wholly following you. And he don't owe you nothing. You say, well, I'm a good person. I try to do my best. I try to keep the law. I try to hold these things. I've been following for a long time. I've been in this church for many years. I've been a good person. I'm trying to do you better. Press. Yeah. If you see Moses going on and you're not getting up there where he is, and all you're seeing is the dust cloud from the 2 million feet, you better pick up the pace. Yeah. You say, well, I got to run. Well, if I got to run, I got to run. Yeah. Paul said, run this race with patience. Yeah. So you need to keep up with God. I don't care if you serve God for so long. When you see that you're no longer following God, then you need to find out where he went. Amen. Joshua and Caleb walked with Moses, followed God wholly. Not partially, because everybody who, all 2 million followed him partly. And they went so far, and they went so long, and they went a long ways. But Joshua and Caleb was like, Joshua would walk up there, and Caleb would walk up to him and say, Joshua, yeah, Caleb, you, how you feeling? Oh, I feel good. You still feel strong? I feel strong. You getting awake and tired? No, not at all. How about you? No. You know, Mr. Smith back there, I just heard him saying that he's tired of walking. You know, people get tired of serving God. They get tired of serving God. When you get tired of serving God, you better check yourself. Because you might not still be following holy. Caleb said, I followed holy. He said, Josh, you know this. And don't even act like you don't. You were standing right there where Moses said it. And your memory is as good as mine, because my mind is sharp and so is yours. We're strong. We're still at it. Yes. And you know God said I was going to have that mountain over there.
That's right.
And I walked with you. I followed you wholly. I've taken every word of God to heart. I put it to work in my life. And now I want my mountain.
Amen.
That's what he's talking about.
Amen.
This belongs to me. See, when you stay and follow God wholly, when you run across a promise of God, it's yours. And you can say, God, hey, your word said, hey, it's written, hey, this word's calling, hey, the word promised me this. You promised me this, and I followed you. I followed you wholly. I mean, Caleb was not shy about his demand. He wasn't shy about it at all. He was kind of, he was a little bit on the boastful side, because he knew him and Joshua were the only ones that were originals. And he's like, nobody could testify of this like Joshua could. Yeah, nobody. And he's like, hey, Joshua, you know. See, when you can put that in the devil's mustache. When you wholly following the word of God, hey, you know I've been true to this word. You know I've stayed with the report. You know I believed all of it. You know I've eaten every word. You know I've put it to work in my life. You know it's made my life. That is who I am. You know now, Lord, you know that.
Amen.
You know I've wholly followed you. Then that means it belongs to you.
Amen.
Just to save time, I'm going to jump down through here. I got to read it, otherwise you won't understand it. Joshua, the great warrior, I read about a few minutes ago in the book of Joshua, the 10th chapter. Notice, Joshua was a friend to God. You need to be a friend to God. God's got to know you. He was a friend to God. He was a soldier, a general, and he come up under the influence of a prophet, Moses. And Moses had been taken away, and Joshua was commanded to take the children into the promised land and to divide the lands. The children's disobedience, and Moses had waited to be owed, and so Joshua came up and took the place of Moses to be God's general. And the Lord spoke to him and said, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. That's good enough for Joshua. If God ever tells you that, yeah, what do you got to worry about?
And he has.
And he has. That's why I said, you know, I don't know. I like I said, you'll not outlast me. I tell y'all that all the time. You won't outlast me. Why? I know what God's done for me. I know what he's brought me. I know what I've been through. I know what he's promised me. And I know I've stayed behind this message and I've fought this thing, and I've been this thing, and I've been talked about, been laughed at, and on and on and on, and said I couldn't make it, said I, but God knows I've wholly followed this message.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Yes, Lord, yes.
Amen.
And the Lord spoke to him and said, as I'm with Moses, so will I be with you. That's good enough for Joshua. He said, be strong and very courageous, for the Lord God is with thee wherever thou goest, and every place that the soles of your feet shall set, that I've given to you. What about us? If you're wholly following the Lord, everywhere you put your feet, it's yours. Your job, your work, your home. Walk into your family's house. They're mine. Go to that car dealer that gives you a special break. You're mine. People say, well, you can't. Yes, I can. Because I wholly follow the Lord. Every place the sole of your foot should set, that I have given to you. Then footprints meant possession. The whole land belonged to them. It was a promise. Amen. Way before it ever happened, when he come down there with Caleb and the other spies, and then seen that great opposition, the Amalekites and the Perizzites and Hittites and so forth, all fenced in, and there at Jericho could run a chariot race on top of the wall or the place, that great strong. It was a big place. No wonder those unbelievers thought, we can't do this. Some of the unbelievers amongst them said, why, we look like grasshoppers by the sides of them. But Caleb said, and Joshua, we are more than able to take it. Why? God said, I have given you this land. No matter what the opposition is, how great the difficulty looks, yet God said it's theirs. God is able to keep what he has promised. Amen. We look at the circumstances we get in sometime and we feel like there's no way out. There's always a way out. If you're fully, wholly following the Lord, he will make a way. When you're following the Lord, you can do like Renee said, this is for the devil and whoever else doesn't believe it. Why? I'm wholly following the Lord. Amen. I don't have a doubt about me. No. I have a doubt about you. I mean, when you know you're following the Lord, you can be bold. Amen. You should be bold. Should be. You should be bold. You can be as bold as you want to be.
Right.
When you know that you've got the promises of God behind you, yeah, and that you're wholly following the word of God, then there's nothing that can separate you from those promises.
Amen.
Amen.
That's why Caleb and Joshua, they knew. They, you know, Joshua wasn't fighting Caleb over it.
No.
Joshua's like, you know you're right. You know you're right. Yes, sir. You're right. Yes, sir. It's like I got these old heads here. I was going to call them names, but I don't. I just say that, and you don't have to know what age I'm talking. I'm just saying, these old heads here, they know. They've been through this. They have wholly followed the Lord. They've been through splits. They've been through fights. They've been through gossip. They've been through on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And they're just as strong now, as stronger than they were when they first believed. If you thought you could move them 20 years ago, they ain't budging. Forget it. This tree got deep roots. It ain't going nowhere. You young whippersnappers, you need to keep your eye on us older people. Because we've been where you're trying to get to.
That's right.
With your 1 or 2 years, just keep walking.
Yeah.
2 will turn to 5, 5 will turn to 10, 10 will turn to 20, and 20 will turn to 40 if you wholly follow the Lord.
Right.
And when you wholly following, there ain't no turning back. You couldn't tell Joshua and Caleb that we're going to settle. We're going to sit on the other side of Jordan and just pitch our tents there. Oh, my, they'd have beat you up. You'd have found out how strong they really were. And the thing is, you know, there's some people that people won't even mess with. When they tried to do their splits in the church, they didn't even, I should have been insulted because they didn't even call me. They didn't ask my opinion. They didn't try to get my input. They didn't try to. They knew better, because they said, "Well, he wholly follows the Lord. You ain't gonna move him, no." And I wasn't the only one. Every one of these old heads in here that's in here did the same thing. Oh, they might have tried to approach you, but you know why you're still here? Because you rebuked them.
Amen.
Go on somewhere.
Joshua said, You're right, Caleb.
Right.
You've been by my side.
Right.
You've wholly followed the Lord. And yes, we did go in there. And yes, we spied out the land. And yes, Moses said you can have that mountain. Right. So you know what? He blessed him. He said, it's yours.
Yeah, right.
And Caleb's like, I don't care what I got to do.
Yeah.
If I got to fight, I got to fight.
Yeah.
We got to clean it out. I got to clean it out. It's just another move. God's been cleaning things out all the way from Egypt here to here.
Right.
If he's done that, he'll do the rest because it's God's promised word.
Right.
We are in the promised land.
Amen.
And when you get in the promised land, there's nothing that the devil can do to help to hurt you.
Right.
You got to clean that out yourself. You get into the Word, and then you got to walk this land. The Word says, you got to decide, am I going to go back and settle? Am I going to swallow hard and go forward? The believers are going to move forward. When I see you getting further and further away, I'm like, somebody's slowing down their walk. There's a problem there. And the problem ain't Moses. Moses is like, keep up with that pillar of fire. So you can't sit back there watching the smoke of the dust cloud of the two million feet and say, Moses has got a problem. Moses ain't got no problem. Even Moses just slowed down. Moses should have taken a different route. Too much dust in the back of this line. No, you better walk fast. You better walk fast enough to get ahead of the dust. Don't let other people's dust keep you from going all the way. You decide where you, you know, when you're in a run, a race, you pick your place or you're going to be. Oh, you start out in a place, but once that bell goes or the gun fires and when they start that run, you get to where you want to get to. If you like running in the back of the crowd, stay back there. If you don't like being involved, don't get involved. If you don't like this and you don't like that, leave it alone. But you ain't wholly following. And then don't complain. If somebody's stepping in front of you, you pass them up. That's what I did. When I come to this message, everybody's all these old heads here. Hey, we got Brother Branham's message. We got the books. And they're quoting and quoting. And I was just a little snotty-nosed kid. And I thought, I was running. I was running for Jesus. And I said, Brother Childers, do I have to know all this? No, okay. Pass them up. And they said, well, you can't testify. I testify anyway. Well, you don't know enough to testify. Well, I tell you what God's just showed me today. I mean, I know all of it, but I know one thing. I know what he said. I know what he promised me. I know what he told me. And I beat the devil's head with one revelation.
Amen.
You said, well, you need to go to school. You need to learn this. I don't need to learn nothing. I look at his promises, and his promises says, I can go. His promises said they belong to me. And when I see God's promises, I'm going to claim him. See, the thing is, people don't claim what belongs to them. They got into Canaan's land and the whole new generation because they'd never been there. When Joshua and Caleb walked in the land, Joshua said, hey, Caleb, look at that. There's that mountain. Caleb said, yeah, I know. I know. I'll be back. I got to talk to you about that. We got something to talk about. But we've been given promises. And Joshua and Caleb always waited on the Lord. Let me tell you about another person. Romans chapter 4. This guy we know. Therefore it is of faith that it might be of grace, verse 16, to the end of the promise. That the end of the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only they which are of the law, but they that are also which is of the faith of Abraham, whom is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Now remember Abraham, old man, old wife, no kids, no heirs, dried up. Impossible. But then God gave him a promise. Before whom he believed, even God, whom quickened the dead, and called those things which be not as though they were. He wasn't worried about what it looked like. He wasn't worried about the giants of the land. He wasn't worried about what people think. People thought, well, Abraham, there's no way you're going to have a kid now. He didn't worry about that. He didn't worry about what Sarah said. Because you know Sarah wasn't on his side when it started. The first person Abraham had to preach to was her. And she didn't believe it. And Abraham got stronger in his faith and stronger in his faith and stronger in his faith. And Sarah's like, not only was he getting stronger in his faith, but he was getting naturally stronger. Because he believed God, and he just kept walking. He said, Sarah, start knitting those booties. We're going to need those. Well, Abraham, I'll do it, but I don't see us ever putting them into use. Do it anyway. And Abraham preached to her. And Abraham preached to her. And Abraham preached to her. And finally, Sarah's like, you know, Abraham, I'm going to make another set of booties because, you know, I think he's going to grow a little bit fast when he gets here. And we're going to need a little bigger pair. And she started believing that thing.
Right.
And next thing you know, their bodies started changing.
Right.
They changed enough, John, like you just said, that a king looked at Sarah and thought, whoa. Now, that king wasn't no pervert. He wasn't after no old woman. He could have had anybody in the land he wanted. Sarah would look so good. He's like, my Lord, who is that woman that just come to town? I ain't seen her around these parts. Like I said, when God does it, he does it right. He didn't make, he took the water and made the best wine. He took fish. I told him last Sunday, God took fish and he broke it when he had to fish in loaves of bread. He came, Brother Branham said, I don't know whether it was baked or broiled, but when Jesus broke the fish off, it became baked or broiled, and God served up the best fish. God does the best of everything. So when he put Sarah together, he put her together. So much so that the king was like, whoa, whoa. Abraham believed God.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Who against hope believed in hope.
Amen.
See, he had a promise.
Yeah.
When you have a promise of God, it doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what anybody says. It doesn't matter what the church world says, what the world says, what your family says, what your friends says. It doesn't matter. You stay right on the promises that God, because God's going to keep his promise.
Amen.
He's going to keep. He's not going to keep it to everybody, but he's going to keep it to those who wholly follow his word.
Amen.
Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. What? The promise. So shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not as even his own body. I don't even care what it looks like. You say what? Well, you're waiting on the coming of the Lord. You've been waiting. You've been waiting. You was waiting on the coming of the Lord at 20. Now here you are at 60, and you're looking for the coming of the Lord. Well, you're getting tired. You're getting old. You're getting old. Yep, no, I'm still waiting. If he didn't come yesterday, he's coming today. If he doesn't come today, he's coming tomorrow. You say, well, you're going to walk yourself right to your grave. Then you're coming to the grave and get me. I still ain't going to lose. He's got that covered too. I ain't worried about it. Not weak in faith, he considered not even his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't care what was going on with his body. He didn't care what was going on with Sarah. He had a promise. When you wholly follow the Lord and you got a promise, don't matter what it looks like, just hang right there. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Well, how do you stagger at the promises of God? Your unbelief. You say, I believe this thing. You don't wholly believe it. I believe most of it. I just don't like this. I just don't believe that. Well, you're not wholly believing. And if you're not wholly believing, I don't have to worry about you because you know what? You're staggering at the promises through your unbelief.
Right.
Our body change is going to happen through faith.
Amen.
And it's only going to happen to those who wholly believe.
That's right.
You say, well, I believe a lot of it. I believe I'm going. Are you wholly following the Lord? Ask yourself that. You're like, ooh. That's are you wholly following? Are you just following the cloud of the children of Israel? And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. When you're fully persuaded, you're wholly following. I when I found this message, or it found me, I was fully persuaded. I threw everything else away. My tongues, my good living, my background, my history, my what church my family went to. I threw all that away. I said, oh, no, this is the Word of God. And if they lie to me about this, I'm not smart enough to know what else they're going to lie to me about. If I didn't understand that, I won't understand the rest. So rather than take chances like people do, use their thinking and the Word of God, that didn't work. Rather than taking your thinking and the Word of God, I totally gave it all up. I said, I'll just start over. I'll just wholly follow the Word, wholly follow the Lord, and He'll add to it as He wants to. He'll take away as He wants to, and then I'll be found right in the middle. I didn't know I was going to end up pastor this church. That was not even my plan. Not even my goal. Not even my desire. But I'll do whatever God wants me to do. I don't get to choose. I don't know why you do. Okay. Abraham had to believe just what the voice told him. And when he was 100 years old, 25 years later, he was stronger believing than when he was 25 years ago, when it was given to him, see? He believed it, and he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong, giving praise to God, knowing that he is able to perform what he had promised. And that's the way everyone must be that way. You must come with an unfailing faith, believing that God made the promise. If you know that God made the promise, I don't care what it looks like.
That's right.
Joshua and Caleb probably were complaining while they were walking around the 40 years to themselves, saying, why are we going back this way? But Canaan lands. But you know what? Wherever Moses went, they went. And they had to walk around an extra 40 years. They believed they could take it the first time, but had to wait 40 years. But they waited, not thinking that the promise was not going to happen, but it happens in God's time. See, what we do is we try to adjust things because it's not happening the way we want it to. We try to adjust and make it quicker, faster, or we got a better way, or we got a smarter way, or we got I got a fast pace. You know, when you go to King's Island, you can get those fast pass. Some people try to get a fast pass to God. Well, I can get better this way on my own. Well, no, you can't get there. You got to stay behind Moses.
Right.
You got to follow. You got to wholly believe and wholly follow. Amen. You can't just do it when you want to. You got to do it when you don't want to.
Amen.
That's holy.
Amen.
If I only do something when I want to, if I only go to work the days I want to go to work, that's not holy going to work.
Amen.
On those days, I feel like, you know, mine is Monday. I've been raining. Oh, it's cold. I'm tired. Busy weekend. Lord, I've been serving you all weekend. Hallelujah. It's Monday. I don't feel like going. I think I'll call in. That's not holy working. You go in when you don't feel like it. You go in on the good days. You go in on the bad days. You go in when your boss chews you out. You go in when the boss is having a party. That's the way it is in serving God. You don't get to choose how to serve God.
Amen.
That's not holy following the Lord. You say, well, I'm serving God this way. I'm not going to serve God this way, but I'm going to serve Him this way. Serve Him that way. Half serving. And see where that gets you. It's not going to get you very far. Another promise to show you how, I'm trying to show you how promises, when you're wholly following the Lord, these are promises that are for you. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Everybody knows it.
Amen.
Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, and we're going to have baptism today.
Right.
Wholly following the Lord.
Right.
Linda said, so Satan was saying, what people going to think? Look this, what that, what that, what, what, what. Doesn't matter. It's between you and God.
Yeah.
See, that's holy following the Lord. That's not holy following the church. It's not holy following the people. It's holy following the Lord. I don't care if I've been baptized 100 times. If God said, make it 101, I'm like, remember Naaman? He had a problem. Leprosy. And he wanted to serve God, but he didn't want to wholly follow the Lord. He wanted to do it in his conditions. See, sometimes some of us want to serve God on our conditions. You know, I'll be there Sunday morning. I ain't coming Sunday night because kids got school. We're tired. We've been busy all weekend. Wednesday night, I ain't ever coming because I get things ready for school and I got work Thursday and, you know, and we got all kind of reasons. And Naaman, he was like, I need to find out what the prophet's going to tell me to do. And the prophet said, go dip yourself in that dirty Jordan 7 times. And it's like, I got a heated pool in my backyard. I can go down to the ocean. There's a lot better place. Have you seen all the trash from the city, the sewage? You know, in the Philippines, they have those little traps, those little water trails outside the house. You don't want to step in those ditches. Because what happens is, in the house, they go to the bathroom. And then from the bathroom, it rolls down to the street. And then from the street, it runs down to the pond or wherever it goes. Well, I wasn't in there. I won't say who was in it, but we had to baptize somebody, and they stepped in one of those watering holes. And the muddy water was really mushy water. And it wasn't mud. But we got them baptized.
Amen.
But Naaman's like, do you realize there's better places than to come all the way to this nasty, dirty Jordan? Let's do this. Let's use our head here. Why don't we go to my pool? Why don't we go to, you know, I got a watering trough. I got a bathtub. There's many things I can do. Can I dip there? And why 7? Why don't I just do 1? See, if he used all of his thinking the way we do, we try to figure God out and what's the best for God. And really, you aren't doing what's the best for God. You're doing what you want. Come on, let's be honest. We do what we want to do. I do. Am I the only one? I guess I'm the only one. Okay. I must be the only one to do what I want to do. Okay. Then I need to repent then, because I do what I want to do. But Naaman, he wanted to do what he wanted to do. And his servant told him, said, hey, if he told you to do something great, like go and get the poor a bunch of food, or go and do, if he asked you to do something great, you'd have done it. But because he asked you to just do something, little thing like dip into Jordan 7 times, you can't do it. And he's like, you're right. So he went and dipped and was healed. See, you got to wholly follow the Lord. You can't pick and choose on how you're gonna serve God. And you'll know when you're not wholly following, because you'll get farther and farther away from God. You're like, well, and you can backpedal all you want and kick and scratch and try to catch up and do, but you'll know. Just give up, as Brother John Holland would sing, and let Jesus take over. So in Acts 2, it says, for this promise, here's another promise, is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So if you repent and be baptized today, you are doing the same thing that Peter did on the day of Pentecost. Amen. And that promise was for all of us.
Amen.
And that promise, see, God holds true to his promises. He said, if you do these things, then I'll do these things.
Right.
If you repent and you be baptized, you shall.
Amen.
It's a guarantee. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's a promise of God.
Amen.
He'll do it in his time.
Amen.
But he will do it.
That's right.
As soon as you're wholly following,
amen,
Amen. You stay right there with him. Right. Hang right there with every word he lays in your path. Yeah. Everything God lays and everything God gives you, you stay right with that. Holy, follow him, and the promises belong to you. Amen. You can do just like Caleb did. You're just as much with that scripture right there. It says, God, you said, if I repent and if I'll be baptized, then I shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's your promise to me.
Yeah.
That's how you can be just as strong as Caleb was with Joshua.
Amen. Amen.
It belongs to you.
Amen.
All the promises of God's word belong to you. Brother Branham said, Peter said on that day of Pentecost, this promise to you and your children and to them as far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's what the Holy Ghost is for. As long as God still calls, the Holy Ghost is still here to fill every hungry heart that God's called. Every time, every one of them. If you follow God's promises and you believe and hang on to those promises, you can have everything you need. He's got it. Now listen, God promised in our day to send that spirit of Elijah, according to Malachi 4. That's a promise. It wasn't something that we just decided, well, we're going to do. No, God said, I'm going to send it. God promised, according to Malachi 4, verse 5 and 6, Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. That's a promise. I'm going to send you. Now, we can build our life around that promise. And we have. That's why we are here. That's why we're doing what we do. That's why we believe in William Branham's message. That's why we're following a prophet. A lot of people look and says, well, you don't have to have Brother Branham. Not if you're going to wholly follow the Lord, you do. If you want to just go to church, you don't need William Branham. You don't even need Jesus Christ to go to church. But if you're going to wholly follow the word of God, it's going to lead you right to where God is. And when you're right there where God is, the promises of God belong to you.
Right.
He promised us he was going to send Elijah, and he did. He kept his word. He kept his promise. 2,000 years later, he kept his promise and sent Elijah to us. And the only way to wholly follow the God in this hour is to get where Elijah is. You say, well, I'm tired of this message, church. Y'all preach too much, Brother Branham, and I want to go back to the basics of a God come and died for our sins. Well, you're cutting yourself short of the promises. You're building your house on the other side of Jordan. You're settling. And it's so funny because people will still go to church after they've heard the prophet's message. They'll go to church, but they'll go to any old church. The one brother told me, he said, I'm tired of fighting in this message, so I went back to some kind of church that all they did, they liked to play music, and he liked music. So he thought, well, I'm going to go to this church because they play music. That's not wholly following the Lord.
Right.
You can do that in a band. And don't even have to get up for Sunday morning. Most bands are playing Saturday night. Now we know that he's the same. Now if we come tonight, we find now that Jesus cannot fail because he's God. He is the Word. The Word and Christ is the same. Then if the Word promises, the Word that this is to happen in the last days. The spirit of Elijah is to return in the last day. That's right, upon the people. And he's turned the hearts of the fathers to the children, back to the hearts of the fathers, the children back to the fathers, the doctrine, the principles of the Bible. They've got away in denominations and organizations. They've started just doing all this churchy stuff in denominations. And the great power of God is to come upon the people when the Master of Peace
that'll send their hearts back to remembering that he still remains God, that he is God. Jesus promised these things that he'd do. His believers will do it, the work that I do. Brother Brennan said, God's promised these things. The believers are going to believe it. The believers are going to do the same works. But you got to be a believer. You got to wholly follow. You can't just pick up this message and lay it down, pick it up. There's some people that are on off with this message. No, they'll come every once in a while. Come to church, then they're gone. Come back to church, then they're gone. They're in, then they're out. They appear, then they disappear. They're up, then they're down. And then they're just sort of stealth. That's not wholly following the Lord. Now the promise. He promises to restore according to Joel 2. We won't read it. We know it. He said he was going to restore the word, all that the caterpillar, pommel worm, all that. He was going to restore it. And he promised he was going to do that. And he has done it. Amen. See, the thing about God's promise, you don't have to keep score of God's promises. He knows what he says. And he'll do what he says. So when God promises you something, you can bank on that.
Amen.
He said he was going to restore, and he did do it. Brother Lockett mentioned it. God promised healing. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. When his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. He's already taken a stripe. He promised the healing. And we need to believe God and take him at his word. We have the hardest time taking God at his word. We have a hard time claiming what God promised us. He promised us healing. And it should be, we should have sicknesses go away. We should have cancers disappear. We should have whatever's going on. Because that's part of the promises. And we're wholly following God. So when God, I need something from you, you promised in your word. I want that mountain. This trouble. Believe the word. If God promised, and that's what I'm trying to get you to understand, is that if there's a promise in the word of God, you don't have to take back off of it. And whatever you need, God's got it. He promised he was going to restore his word. He did. He said by his stripes we're healed. It's already promised and done. So why do we hold back on anything?
Amen.
If you wholly believe in God and you know. See, Caleb knew. Caleb knew.
Amen.
Caleb knew he wholly followed the Lord. Caleb knew he never backed off. Caleb knew he never changed his mind. Caleb knew he stood rare. And if Joshua would have said any different, Caleb would have still believed it. He would have just said, Joshua, you just don't understand. But you know. You know. You know the word of God. You know what the promises are. You know what God said he's going to do. And when God said it, you can believe it's going to happen. Oh, we're not surprised when cancers go away. We're not surprised when somebody who couldn't have babies says, tomorrow I'm going to have my baby. We're not surprised. And people look around here and they think nothing's happened. Things are happening around here all the time. Because we wholly believe the word of God. That's like Dawn asked me that one time when somebody's having cancer. She said, well, how should we pray? I said, we pray like believers.
We
pray like the word of God says. I don't care how bad it looks.
Amen.
I don't care how rough it looks. I don't care how much the devil's got cancer eating you from head to toe. We still pray as believers. We don't take down and say, oh, God, just take him out of here and take it. No. I'm going to stand on the word of God. If he decides to take him, that's on him. But I'm going to wholly believe his word. And his word says, by his stripes, I'm healed. God promises. Don said, these signs shall follow them that believe.
Yes. Yes.
That's what we got the word for.
Amen.
When God's word says it, the bride stands up and she believes it. She counts herself one of them and she wholly follows it. And I don't care what it looks like.
Amen. Amen.
Luke 17:30. He promised.
Amen.
Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. He promised at the end time, as it was in the days of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah and all that. All of that's going to be here. But in the middle of all of that, the Son of Man was going to show up. God promised that. And he's here. He's shown up. So don't worry about God's half. You say, well, I'll keep my half, but I hope God keeps his. Oh, he's true to his word. He's true to his word. You just believe God. See, the thing is, people try to drive God. Try to say, well, look, if it's God, this will happen. If it's God, that'll happen. If it's God, it'll be like this. Or if God, it'll be like that. No, 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 no. God don't ask you to define what he is. God brings his word to pass by manifestation. He interprets it by manifestation. People tell you all the time, they say, well, how's this one going to pay? How's that one going to pay? I don't know, and I don't have to know. All I know is that don't touch God's anointed.
Right.
That's the word. The word said, "Don't touch God's anointing." I don't have to understand what He's gonna do.
No.
We're like, "How He's gonna pay?" Oh, are you sure? Did He pay? Are you sure He paid enough? The word's true. If I never see it myself, if I never, because it's not about you seeing anything. It's about the word of God being the word of God. And I believe the word of God 100%. So if God said, if the Lord says I am, then I am. Word is restored in Luke 17:30. Just like he promised. Listen to what Brother Branham said in Signs of the Time. Skipping down, trying to save time. I know we got a baptism. But the last sign, just before the Gentiles were burned, was the sign God manifested in human flesh.
Right.
Right. And Jesus said that would be at his return. We ought to be careful now and get ready right. Get really right with God. Be sure that you're right now. See, Brother Brown's like, he promised he was going to do this. He was going to put himself in human skin right before the rapture. And people read what Brother Branham said, and they think he's talking just about him. It includes him, because he's the first one in this hour, but he wasn't the last. The Son of Man is the Word made flesh. That was promised to us. He said over here in Perseverance, he said, now look, Christ promised these things for the last days. Now, I know you had great warriors here in the city, perhaps Oral Roberts and the late Jack Cole and those great men of faith. They lived their time. But remember, the last sign to the Gentile world was seen before the promised son arrived in Abraham's time, which is the father of all. And Jesus promised the same thing, the last sign that was shown to the church elected. Now, remember, there was one. There were two down and preached in Sodom that never showed us this sign. Neither is it today. But that's to the called out. But to the called out church, the sign was shown, and so did Jesus prophesy it would be the same thing. See, God manifested in flesh, discerning the thoughts that's in the heart. See, he promised that. Both heaven and earth will fail, but that won't. See, God promised that he was going to come. When God come down, he sent two angels to Sodom. They had no sign. Only sign that they really did, and it really wasn't a sign, all those two angels did down in Sodom was blind the people. He blinded them. But the angel that was on the hillside with Abraham, Melchizedek, he opened his eyes. He said, cannot hide anything from my friends.
Come on.
He told him everything he was going to do.
Yeah.
He told him a promise about a child coming. He told him about the coming son. He told him about what the world condition was going to be, how he's going to destroy. We, as Abrahamic seed, know it all in the hour that we're living in. And these are all promises that God said he's going to do. And God is true to his word. As it was in the day of Lot, it is today. As it was in the day of Sodom, it is today. This world don't know. They don't know men from women now. They don't know which bathroom to use. They don't. Their things are so confused. They're talking. I see on a commercial they're talking about, are our kids okay? And they're looking at they're talking about transgenders and don't know. One day they feel like they're male. The next day they feel like they're female. Those are demons that's let loose in this generation. And this world is gone. So if this world is in the condition of Sodom and Gomorrah, then there's got to be somebody on the top of the hill that has somebody talking to them and revealing what God's doing in the hour that we're living. We spend so much time talking about Sodom and Gomorrah, but we don't even, the church world don't even know that up on the hillside is the bride of Jesus Christ. They don't know that Melchizedek was up there revealing everything to her. That's who we are. He's telling us everything. He told us all that was, all that is. And that all, what did Abraham get? He got all that was, all that is, and now what's to come. He knew how he had a relationship with God.
Right.
He knew what was happening in Sodom's condition right then.
Right.
And he knew that in 9 months he was going to have a baby.
Yes. Yes.
All that was, all that is to come.
Right.
This bride in the hour, now we're living. We now can see all that was. We can look all the way back and see what he's been doing the whole time.
Right.
We can see all that's going on in the day and hour that we're living in right now. And we also know the promises of what's lying just ahead for us.
Amen.
And we are holy following. The proof that we're here is a proof that we're holy following. Walk in the light as he's in the light. Then you'll have fellowship. You want fellowship? Walk in the light. He promised the message according to Revelation 10. We all know it. We don't have to go there and read it. Verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he has declared to his servants the prophets. As he already promised. It's done. It's finished. These are promises that only somebody who is wholly following the Lord can even get a hold of. We know it's done. We know he's done these things. We know he's kept his word. We know God is looking at us, and he's looking at us and letting us see his promises manifest right before our eyes. Let me take you to another promise. Now, remember, claiming the promise. If you're wholly following the Lord, now I'm talking about one. These are for us, okay?
Yeah.
This is not for everybody. These are only promises for those who are wholly following the Lord.
Right.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, verse 15, shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now this is a promise. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort yourselves with these promises. That's a promise for us. Now, have you wholly followed the Lord? Is it to you? Is it your promise? If it's your promise, then you can be just as bold as Caleb was. You don't have to back off of this promise at all.
Yeah.
A lot of people are saying, well, the Lord hasn't come. Maybe he's not really coming in the now. No, he's coming.
Amen.
He promised us he's coming. Like Brother Children said, don't take away my natural marriage supper. Don't take away my rapture. Don't take away the coming of the Lord. He promised these things, and I'm wholly following him, so I'm looking for the body change.
Amen.
I'm looking to be changed in a moment in a twinkling of an eye.
Yeah.
Brother Branham said that there, these things happen. The voice, the shout, the voice, the trumpet has to happen before Jesus appears. Now the shout, he said, Jesus does all three of them
when he's descending. Now, we've already had a shout. You got to understand, the promise that God had right there in 1 Thessalonians isn't in future tense. He is already fulfilling 1 Thessalonians chapter 4.
That's right.
Only to those who are falling holy.
That's right.
We don't need a prophet. Then you don't need a shout. If you don't need a shout, you can't get a trumpet. You can't get a voice. And if you can't get a voice, you can't get a trumpet. So it's so critical for us to have a shout, a William Branham, a prophet at the end time. Because without the shout, there is no rapture. That's why they can't go in the rapture. You must wholly believe the Lord, wholly follow the Lord. And that shout brings on a voice. Now we're right in the middle of that voice right now. And Brother Branham said that's a resurrection voice. So we're not even going to be finished with the voice. And I was thinking about this last night. I said, we're not going to be finished with this voice until the dead get up.
That's right.
That's why you have to call to the dead, because that's part of this promise that's been given to us. And I want that promise. Yeah. That's a mountain to me. I want that mountain. I want that. I'm wholly following the Lord. I've got with the shout. I am the voice. And I'm waiting for the trumpet. I'm claiming what belongs to me. This ain't somebody else's scripture. These are my scriptures.
Amen.
These aren't somebody else's promises. These are my promises.
That's right.
God promised me a shout, a voice, and a trump.
That's right. That's right.
And because I'm wholly following him, you've got to give it to me.
Yeah.
He's got to give it. You say, no, he doesn't. Yes, he does.
Yes.
He promised.
Yes.
When God promises you something, you bank on that.
Amen.
Don't take it back. Don't look at circumstances. Don't listen to Satan. Don't look at things and say, oh, well, we're going to just settle down on this side. Well, I know the rapture hasn't happened, so it's pretty good living here. I got a good living, and we're doing all right. So look, we'll just wait over here. No, I won't be satisfied till I wake in his likeness.
Amen.
I'm going to hold his feet to the fire of that promise, because he said if I wholly followed him, it belonged to me.
Amen.
I didn't say this. He did. I didn't coerce him. I didn't make him.
No.
I didn't push him. All I did was believe what he said.
Amen.
And that's why Brother Branham is saying that all every service. Only believe.
Amen.
Only believe. All things are possible. When God says something and he promises something, you believe that.
Amen.
He said he was going to bring a shout, and he did. He said he's going to bring a voice, and he did.
Amen.
And this voice will ride all the way till the resurrection.
Right.
When this voice is done, the dead will be up.
Yeah.
That trump is gathering us together for a wedding supper. That's all that's doing. That's not. Matter of fact, the biggest part of the work isn't even the trumpet. By the time we get to the trumpet, the dead will be up, and the living will be changed. That trumpet will be easy. It's like, well, let's go. Yeah, there ain't nothing to do. Right now, we battle our mind. We battle our problems. We battle, 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 battle. Are you sure? But no. Oh, we are the voice. So this promise of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is real, and we're right in the middle of it. Don't think it's coming. See, a lot of people think, well, Thessalonians 4 is going to happen. You're right in the middle of it. It's two-thirds done. Listen to another promise. Now, all these are promises now. And I'm trying to get you used to claiming what belongs to you. If Caleb can do it. And he didn't know what you know. If Caleb can do it. Revelation chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth was passed away. And there was no more seas. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That's a promise. That's another one. That's for us. For us to claim. Don't stop until you see that city coming down. Don't settle. Say, well, oh, hallelujah, we got our body changed. That's good. Do you realize they're over there wanting so bad to get over here? They're not even satisfied with their theophany. They can't eat. And then when we get our glorified bodies,
we're not going to be satisfied. We're going to go to the marriage supper, take that communion, and we're like, well, what's next? You got another promise there, Lord. You got 3.5 years now. Take us back down there because we got a honeymoon to do. But see, these are promises that we don't hardly even claim like we should. If the Word says it, and this is my point to you this morning, if the Word says it, you claim it because it belongs to you. And don't back off of it for Satan. Don't back off of it for people. Don't back off of it for nothing. You stay right there with the promises of God, because heaven and earth will pass away. But those promises, those things, God's going to make sure they come to pass. Amen. Claiming what's promised you. All that God promised, all of his promises will be fulfilled. Brother Branham said here, this is my last quote, Revelations 21, 1 through 4. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a voice cry, saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away their tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Now listen to these promises. These are promises. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. How wonderful, Brother Branham said. All of God's wonderful promises fulfilled. It will be all over. The change will have been completed. The Lamb and his bride forever settled in all the perfection of God. Describe it. Who is able to do that? No one. Think about it. Dream about it. Read what the Word says about it. Yes, we can do all that, yet we can only know an infimal part of it until it becomes reality in the first resurrection. These are promises that belong to us. And we don't need to be a backseat Christian and act like, no, when it's yours, it's yours. When you see a promise and that belongs to you, snatch it up. You're wholly following the Lord. You're staying with, and when you're following the Lord, you don't have to worry about whether it's going to happen or not. It will happen. You don't have to make it happen. It will happen. If you need healing, it's there for you. If you need a body change, it's there for you. If you need anything, and it's written in his Word, God has given that to us. And all we got to do now is put it to use. Step out on it. Step out on it. That's why when you need a healing, claim it. It's not, and we almost think it's healing is coming because we've done something, we're so good, or we're this. No, it's because the Word of God says it. We're getting a change in our body because, not because you're so good, but because God's Word said it. He promised it. We're going to a marriage supper because he promised it.
Amen.
We'll stand in this hour because he said in his Word that the Spirit and the bride says, come. That means the bride is going to be here. He said, ask the question, will I find faith when I come back to the earth? And so that's yes. Because we're here. We believe God's Word. And we'll stand on his promises, no matter what it looks like, no matter how many people settle on the other side of Jordan. Settle if you want to. I'm not settling. I'm go all the way. I'm going to wholly believe the Word of God. And anything God's Word says, I'm going to stand right there on it. There's no time to go back to Jordan. No time to settle on the other side, because it's easy. It's time to stay with God's Word and press towards that mark, no matter what it costs you. Because whatever it costs you is cheap compared to what he has for us.
Amen.
Cheap at any cost. God's made a way. He's given us his promises. And we need to, as his children, claim what God has promised
you. Heavenly Father, we come before you and so grateful this morning for your word. So thankful that, Lord Jesus, you've made a way that we could follow your word through and be able to stand on your promises in such a way that, Lord, if there's something we need, you'll give it to us. If there's something you promised us, you will fulfill it yourself. We don't have to make it happen, Lord. It'll happen because you said it. And Lord, as we're here today, there's some that have needs and some that have sicknesses that they're dealing with. Lord, let them step out on your promises, step out on your word. And regardless of what it looks like to the rest of the world or even what it looks like to ourselves, we're going to stand there because your word says so. Thank you for this bride, the ones that believe your report. And help us, Lord, to move everything else aside and move closer into where we can be right there where you are. Thank you for all you've done, Lord. And our sister's going to be baptized. I think two is going to be baptized today. I ask you to just bless them this morning. And if there's anyone else out there that needs to follow your word, Lord, to wholly follow you, let them follow the word. And that word will lead them right through the water baptism into the Holy Ghost. Thank you for how you've been so good to us, Lord. And we pray that you'll bless the remainder of this day. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Jeremiah, you want to get ready? Page 47. What is page 47? I think we can do that. Page 47. I know who I have believed in and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Is that in the only believe or a course of only believe? Amen. Don't forget, no service tonight. And we'll be back on Wednesday night, and Brother Kobe's bringing someone else to be with us. So, amen. Brother Doug. They may not have it turned up very much. It's on. They just need to turn it up back there. They're working on it. You got it? Huh? Oh, it's on. Well, come up here, Doug. There you go. That one works.
But I was thinking about the promises and when those will be fulfilled. We were talking, you know, about the church ages and using the eclipse. Brother Branham said that when Pope Paul the VI in 1964, I think it was January 4th, he said the church world went into total darkness. And he said later on, he said, this generation, talking about in 1964, so you look up the word generation, what is it? The people that are alive at that time.
Mm-hmm.
It says this generation will not pass away until all these promises are fulfilled. That's a generation before me. I mean, even people younger than me, look how short a time it really is.
That's not long.
God bless you.
Amen. It's not long. Amen. What page, Dawn? 47. Okay. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me had made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know who I have believed in and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Let's sing the chorus again. Oh, but I know I have
have believed it and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
Ready, Jeremiah?
Lord,
yes,
and promise in the book of Acts that we'd repent and be baptized in your name, that we shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Here's Sister Belinda,
yes,
a faithful servant of yours, Lord. She just feels led that you told her to get baptized,
yes,
again, and we thank you for her, for following her word, your word, Lord. And
yes,
Lord, we ask that you bless her,
yes,
continue to be with her throughout her life, bless her marriage, bless her,
yes,
at work,
yes,
Lord.
Yes.
Continue to grow her and make her stronger. Thank you for Sister Belinda.
Amen.
In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen. Sister
Amen.
Belinda.
Amen.
I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
Bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we got Sister Riley here. That she's heard your word, heard your promise, told me this week, Lord, that she wanted to be baptized, and we thank you for that. Lord, we ask that you bless her, Lord, that she continue to deal with her, Lord, and lead her life and be with her. Help us as parents to raise her correctly. Thank you for everything you've done for her. Bless her and watch over her. Thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen.
Amen.
Riley, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Thank you. Amen. Anybody else? Here's Warner with Henderson.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can do that. Can you turn this mic down a little bit? I think this mic is a little high. Standing on the promises. Let me find it. Page 31. Don't forget, no services tonight. And come back on Wednesday ready to eat some more. Amen. Amen. It says A. Is that one? Standing on the promises of Christ, my King. Through eternal ages, let His praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout. Oh, hold everything. Yeah, that's okay. Get a mic. Where's the microphone at? We can definitely do that. We're going to pray for her brother.
Yes.
And we're going to remember your dad. Just remember him as well. So let's just do this. Your niece? Your niece? She's young. 30. Mm-hmm. Right. Amen. Well, we're going to pray for that as well.
I just want to thank you for what you said today, too. Claiming our promises. And, you know, thank you for the rebuke, too. You didn't even know you were rebuking me. But, you know, Denise's cancer has moved to the bones, has moved to the liver. And sometimes you think God said no, you know, and that's not what he says.
No.
He says to keep believing the promises.
That's all.
That cancer can't stand in my
way. We're believers.
And I just want to thank you because God talks in this place. And I appreciate it. Just continue to remember me to stand the right things for her and believe for her. Pray for her.
Amen. Yeah. And it doesn't matter how bad it looks, we still trust God's promised word. Brother Chris.
I just wanted to ask Brother, the lady that I am with the church, who grew up in church, she was in the hospital. She was bad, but the family, they're still up on her, but they're not going to.
Right.
They got faith as well.
Amen. Amen. We're going to remember that.
My next door neighbor, she's got brain cancer.
Brain cancer? Well, we're going to pray for that. Amen. We'll stand right there. Like I said, we're believers. We're not doubters. And I don't read in the Bible anywhere where it says give up. I don't read in the Bible anywhere where it says that this is too hard for God. I don't read in the Bible anywhere where it says that if it doesn't happen like you want it, then God's not there. Our job as Christian believers are to believe God's word and to stand on that word and let God do what God does. We'll believe it and stand right there. So we'll just take all these different requests anymore. Dwayne. Remember Dwayne's mom and Trevor. Amen. Remember that them as well. See, we got plenty to believe for.
I still believe God for my
healing. Amen. Nope. Don't give up. We don't back up. We move forward. We're still believing for Anna. Amen. That's right. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, as we come before you this afternoon as believers of your word, knowing that by your stripes we're healed, Lord, that's a promise to us. And Lord, all these different requests, our sister's father and her brother and the different ones that are laying out the word to put before others, that, Lord, your word can go and do the job, whether it's cancer, whether it's sickness, or whatever it is. Blindness is not too great for you, Lord. Father, we saw in the Bible where you took a person who couldn't see and you gave them eyesight. And Father, we know that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we'll stand and believe these promises because they belong to us. We are wholly believing and following your word. And Father, as believers, we'll do as Brother Branham said, only believe. All things are possible. And Father, we ask you to take all of these requests, Trevor and Lord, Sister Judy, and different ones, and just bring these things before you, the neighbor with the cancer and the things that seem like the world has no answer. But God, we have the answer because we have you, and ask you, Lord, to move in those behalfs. And Father, let the reports come back that you've moved in those behalf, Father. We thank you for all these things. Thank you for the baptisms today, and ask you to, Lord, let your word go with our sisters. And Lord, if they've never trusted you before, let them trust you now more than ever. And if you've never spoke to them before, speak to them now like you've never spoke to them, and direct and guide them. And sometimes it's just simple obedience is what you're looking for. And Father, we thank you for our sisters obeying your word. And Father, your promises are good to them, and as just as much as they are to the rest of us, because your words is true and your promises are thus. Have your way and bless us, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 Well, we're going to sing and we're going to get out here. Fill my way with love. I think that's in the key of G. And we're going to keep praying for these different cases and until it happens. Keep believing. You know, the woman went before the unjust judge, and she kept going and kept going, and she pestered him so much, she's like, give her what she wants so I won't have to see her again. And that's the way we are with the Lord. We're just going to keep these things before the Lord. The tumors, the strokes, all these things are, God can handle every one of those things. None of them are too hard. And continue to remember Brother Sievert. I haven't got to talk to him, but he did have the stroke, and he's trying to recover, so just remember him as well. Amen. Come back Wednesday. Let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to the land above. I'm giving cheer everywhere to the sound.